They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just stood straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It came to life.
On 97.3 The Fan.
So good to be back with my boys in here. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Spent the day with my other boys yesterday, and then my big boys. It's good to be back with my big boys today. Great to be back, actually. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning. Good to have you back.
It's good to be here. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back.
I know Disney days can be pretty exhausting, but... You know what? Doing the show without you can be pretty exhausting for me and Paul as well. So I think we're all just tired this morning.
There we are. Hold on. They need to scream. Somebody said it.
Oh.
Yeah!
I thought you didn't have the energy for it.
It's the best I got, my man. So, yeah. Well, it was requested. I like to make people happy, as you guys know. Probably to a fault. Probably to a mother effing fault. Boy. A little sour taste in my mouth lately. But listen, onward and upward we go. Disneyland was truly, truly incredible yesterday. My boys, Bo and Taylor, they just knocked it out of the park. The theme park. They knocked it out of the park on a scale of 1 to 10. I give them a 9.8.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, dude.
I mean, you're hoping for a 6.
Bro, you're praying.
On a situation like that.
You are praying that it's a 6. You're praying. And I'll tell you the other thing, too. You see it a lot. See a lot of husbands and wives out there just getting into it. And I must have seen a dozen of these. The couple of guys like, will you stop? And then the wife gets after him. And the kids are standing there looking up like, oh, we effed up. This is a bad trip. Nary a cross word was uttered between me, my wife Hannah. The kids were, I mean, honestly, save for like one tiny little mini, I want to go home from Bo. That was it. And I'm pretty sure, by the way, that I got caught by a tier one. I wouldn't even say scolding, but like doing a bit that may have been inappropriate with him. So we were in line, and when you got a little kid like Taylor's 3, we had to go to Toontown. Toontown is a nightmare. You don't want to go over there if you can avoid it. You just don't. There's nothing cool
There's
over
nothing
there.
There's nothing better than when your kids are old enough and they go, we don't need to go to Toontown
Pass,
anymore.
Right, Dad? Yeah. We're not going to Toontown, Dad. You're like, oh, all right. Well, excuse me. You used to sit over here and cry and piss your pants, and yeah, now you don't want to go to Toontown. So we're in line for Mickey and Minnie's ride. Just a nightmare. It was a very long line. And Bo's like, I want to go home. And I lean down. And I go, hey, you're like the only kid at Disneyland that wants to go home. All right, why don't you relax? I want to go home. And I go, here's what we'll do. when we leave here, I'll go get security. I'm sure they have a room that you can sit and wait in.
Yeah.
And you sit in the security room, and then we're going to go have a good time. We'll pick you up when we leave. Now, I'm pretty sure.
The empty threat.
I'm pretty sure a tier one was there. There was a guy in a Padres hat. He and his wife were looking over at me, and then he gave me like the head nod, and I'm like, how you doing, man? But I'm pretty sure he heard me getting after Bo.
I mean,
which is nothing. I mean,
if I hear that from anybody, I'm laughing. Like, that's funny. It's not like, listen here, you little effer.
I'm going to beat the ass out of you.
Right.
No, dude, never. So I did hear a dad yesterday tell his kid he was going to smack him because he asked for food. I heard that. Bro, you see all kinds out there. I'm telling you, like, it is such a melting pot of people at Disneyland, and it's fascinating. Fascinating people watching. My wife, I highly recommend. If you get the chance to go to Disneyland with someone that suffers from OCD, it is the best experience of your entire life. You could not. She had us so locked in. Okay, we need to head over here because we are on the fast pass for this. We walk in. We walk down the fast pass line. We get on the ride. It's 3 minutes. I looked at her. I go, you're a wizard. You're a legend. We had our food. We would go to a place. Our food would be there. It was legendary. And I go, you know, this is where it really comes in handy. I mean, there was no, like, fly by the seat of our pants. We went bam, bam, bam. We rode all the stuff we wanted to ride. The weather was fantastic. Got a little warm towards the end, but by that time we were getting our ice cream and splitting town. She absolutely knocked it out of the park. So I really appreciated that. It was a great day. 10 miles, got 10 miles in at Disneyland. The stroller was a good idea. You know, they're both too big for a stroller, but not at Disneyland. So we pushed that thing around for 10 miles. I felt great at the end of the day, like I got my work in. Food was good. It was great.
Finally, sounds like you had a good vacation day.
It was not a vacation day. That's where I draw the line. That was a personal day. That's not a vacation. That's not a vacation. That is not a vacation.
Did you leave your coworkers alone to do your job without you? That's a vacation day.
I woke up at the same time that I normally do to come here. I was on the road. We were on the road at 5:30. So when you're getting here, I was on the road. It's not a vacation. There was no vacation whatsoever. That was work.
Doesn't mean it's a relaxing vacation day, but I still think it's a vacation day for Woodsy.
Odyssey didn't pay you yesterday.
They did.
Well, yes. You used one of your unlimited vacation days.
Yes, my unlimited vacation. Boy, it was a. I wouldn't consider it a vacation. It was a day off. I had the day off yesterday. It was not a vacation. A vacation would have been me sitting home watching television by myself in silence. That's a vacation for me these days. But I loved it. I loved every second of it. I really did. And I looked at Hannah at the end of the day and I go, days like this make me want to come back. You know, because it can go so sideways that you're like, we are never, ever coming here again. I'm not going to spend a nickel on these kids. They were elite. And the fact now that Taylor is 40 inches, you can go ride rides. So we rode Rise of the Resistance. We rode Smuggler's Run. Smuggler's Run was great.
Yeah, I haven't been there since they opened Galaxy's Edge.
Have you not?
No, I have not done any of that.
Oh, it's Ben, unbelievable.
Ben, it's... Like, I loved Star Wars when I was a kid, and my kids like it. So you walk through there, and you're like, oh, my God, that's an X-Wing fighter. Like, there's, like, the Millennium Falcons there. Like, it's crazy to see for our youth, you know, how big Star Wars was. The only thing that bugged me a little bit, and I'll say it, and I'll probably get in trouble for it, the adult Star Wars fans, I get it. Technically, I am one. I was a fan when I was a kid. Bro, when you got little kids in the elevator, but you have to push them out of the way so that you can go watch the hologram of Admiral Akbar or whatever, why don't you remember where you are? Like, they open these elevator doors, and there's a hologram of Admiral Akbar. Welcome to the new recruit. And you're like, oh, cool. And Taylor wants to see, so he starts walking. And then, like, some 30-year-old dude, like, barrels up to the front and stands right in front of it. And I'm like, hey, Peter Pan, why don't you back up and let the kids watch? So I that's when I start to get real passive aggressive. Like, you're good. Dude, you're 6 feet tall. You're going to be fine. He's three. He can't see.
First of all, you just did a spot on Admiral Akbar, and I am
completely welcome to Bad Wood. Welcome.
That Woods can do an Admiral Akbar voice.
Welcome to here. It's Ben Higgins.
Yes.
Relax. Just relax in there.
Disneyland.
It's little kids.
should mostly be about the kids. I know there are people who are there for like the one time in their life, and they've traveled from Pennsylvania or Germany or Croatia to be there. And this is their one chance, and they want to see everything. They maximize it, make the most of it. So
I always trap. Taylor's like, I can't see. I'm like, I know. You know why? Because that guy can. Bro, like pressed up against the glass, like, oh my God, that's a hologram of Admiral Akbar. You're going to be fine, man. Just relax a little bit. Let the game come to you. These are little kids in here. Hello. Crap. Murdered me. So that, other than that, it was one of the best days of our lives. I had so much fun. I love my family so much. I just want to give them everything that they want. But that did piss me off a little bit, I will say.
You did bring up a good point that I now realize. There are tier ones everywhere, and that's not a complaint. That's a good thing. You are amazing. But anywhere you go, even out of town now, feels like you're running into tier ones just randomly all over the place. And yesterday I got a call from my brother. He went to the Padres game, but he went on his own. He didn't have anyone to go with him, so he had an extra ticket and he didn't want it to go to waste. And I don't know that I would have done this, but he said, I'll just hand it to someone who's going up to buy a ticket.
Sick.
So he's walking into Petco Park. Sees a guy who's going up to the ticket window. He says, hey, you need a ticket? Really? Yeah, absolutely. You know, get good seats. They're behind home plate on the Toyota Terrace level.
So does he have to sit by Sam? Yeah.
He says, what can I pay you for it? He says, just enjoy the game. Buy me a beer or something because you're going to be sitting with the guy.
Yeah.
So they end up, you know, he gets up there and the guy's sitting there and they start talking. And the guy's from Fort Wayne, Indiana. He just kind of became a Padres fan. Then, oh, the minor league team's here. Let's start following.
That's cool.
Let's start listening to the games on the radio, Jesse and Tony. And then, you know, apparently getting into a local radio show that is on every morning on that same station.
That's amazing.
And he goes, my brother goes, oh, you listen to Ben and Woods. Oh, yeah, tier one every single day.
Yes. Goes,
you know, I'm Ben's brother.
There you go!
Well, he starts texting, like FaceTiming
world.
All his friends. You won't believe this. I'm at the Padres game with Ben's brother. He gave me a ticket. We're sitting next to each
so
other.
So cool. And Sammy, great job, by the way, of spreading the word and all of that. That's phenomenal. Normally, if somebody offers you a ticket, you would say, it's a trap! It's a trap! Guy's going to make me dress up like
What's
Little Bo Peep or something.
What's
yeah.
the catch? No yeah. catch.
It was great.
Sammy just being a nice guy, and he was rewarded. Getting to see a Jake Cronenworth grand slam and a great win yesterday.
A phenomenal win. I watched, I was in line for a ride and I had the game on my phone and I watched Manny get robbed. And I was like, ah, God, oh, like it hurt me to my soul. And I went, oh, this game is going to go awry. Was checking the score throughout. Finally, we left Benny. By the time we hit Oceanside is when Crony hit the grand slam. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was the bunt over the head. It was like a walk or a hit. It was a hit by Profar. Then it was a walk to Tatis, and I'm in the car. I'm driving. Hannah's next to me. She starts biting her nails. I'm biting my nails. I go, come on, Crony, one time. Wham! First pitch after
mound
the meeting.
Visit.
Mound visit.
Pitching coach comes out, and whatever he said did not work.
And I am screaming in the car. My kids are dead asleep. It was pretty special. I loved getting a chance to hear Jesse and Scan on the drive back, too. So it was cool. Got home just in time to catch the last inning on TV. It was a perfect day.
Great day. I'm glad you had such a good time. Everyone in the chat's going, I didn't even know Ben had a brother. We don't hear about Ben's brother enough. I'm sorry
Sam's
I don't
the best. He's the best.
Talk about Sam enough. I probably don't because he's the Higgins brother that A.J. Preller actually likes.
Yes.
Because they play pickup basketball together.
Yeah, they're like good friends.
I don't think A.J. is as big of a fan of me
no, or
as
me.
He is
it's
of
fine.
Sammy. So.
Should I invite A.J. to play basketball with the Tier 1s on
yes.
Thursday night? Would that do some goodwill for the show?
It would. I asked him to come out and do the Tier 1 tryout as a bit, and he didn't even respond. To that text,
I don't know that he plays baseball, though.
That's
he
true.
Plays basketball.
No, somebody just asked me how many Dodger fans that I lock eyes with. The answer is 14,000. Yeah, at Disneyland yesterday. They wanted to see the World Series trophy.
Only about 12 of them are actually Dodgers fans. The rest of them were just wearing the hat.
There's no question. You can see it in their eyes. You know immediately. Oh, you're visiting L.A. Okay, yeah, you got the hat. They're raking it in, though, bro. They are raking it in. Yes, I mean, they are raking it in. Everywhere I saw a couple City Connects outside of my kids that were wearing them. Saw a bunch of Padre fans as well, but it was, if you're going to do Dodger fan to Padre fan, it was 500 to 1. I mean, it was like everywhere you turn. And they can't.
To be expected.
They can't do the normal, like, I'm just going to wear the lid of my favorite team. It's jersey, full hat, all decked out. So I saw half Lakers, saw a few of those, half Lakers, half. Paul just put Admiral Akbar in the chat. So good. So good. But no, it was a great day.
It's the worst that we saw it happen not too long ago. Who were the Padres playing the Sunday game that we all went to for the biggest fan day? Was that the Cardinals?
Cubbies?
No. Who the hell was that? Maybe the Cardinals.
Well, they weren't playing the Dodgers. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
And the second we got up to the 200 level, the first person we saw was wearing Dodgers hat, Dodgers jersey,
all
and
the time.
All three of us just go.
Yeah. Oh God,
you're that guy.
Yeah,
really.
They're all that guy. Buddy.
Toronto.
Yeah, zero connection.
Wait, because it's blue. Is that it?
No, zero connection. Great day. Great to be back. This feels more like a vacation than that did, but certainly was an awesome day.
All right, we will set the menu for what should be a fairly happy show. That includes, I think, a happenstance. Because Adam Jones didn't join us yesterday, we're going to get a chance to talk to him today, and I think it's actually more appropriate to talk to him today than it would have been to chat with him yesterday. So we'll lay out the menu for the show and get you started here on a Throwback Thursday, everybody. Woods is back. We're all together again. Tier 1s, thank you for joining us. Kelly's got traffic and off and running here on a Thursday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I have faith that Woods is going to be able to get through today. He's just going to, you know, find that last reserve of energy. But after a five-hour show today, because we've got our roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock, we're all going to be so cashed tomorrow, it's going to be ridiculous.
Tomorrow's going to be a rough one, and there's no game
there's
to
no
talk
game.
About.
No game tonight, day off for the Padres. We are going to be, it's going to be almost silly. You don't want to miss tomorrow.
Yeah, those are the good days.
Reach deep into the well of bits. Let's see.
It could be a flub fest for Ben
flub
tomorrow.
Fest. It's pretty. We might need to do the topic wheel.
The wheel of bits is pretty.
Spiritual mouthwash. What else can we do tomorrow?
Everything.
You name it.
Just whatever we've got, break it out for tomorrow on a Friday.
Smorgasbord.
And then by the time Mike Schilt comes around at 9 o'clock tomorrow, I mean, that's about it. That's my focus. Like, just come up with some good questions for the Skip, who is he's going to be a little off the hook. Had they lost seven in a row going into tomorrow's conversation, would have been a very different tone,
boy,
than bouncing back with two straight wins and a series victory over the Cincinnati Reds.
You know, it's a funny job that we have. Came in here on Tuesday. I was pretty hot Tuesday morning and, you know, dropped the hammer on him. And just, I'll say it again, that was embarrassing. That five-game stretch or whatever, that was embarrassing. And packed houses and you go out and you just kind of lay down, man. And it was really, really a tough one. Paulie clipped it and tweeted it out and I heard it again. It's all, anytime I ever go on a podcast, I always have such a great time and I just speak off the cuff. And then I'm driving home and I get hit with the clarity. And I go, did I? Oh, crap, I did. So I went back and listened to that clip. I hit him. I mean, I punched him hard and was like, this sucks. This sucks. San Diego deserves better. You know, it's embarrassing. It's pathetic. All that. I went back and listened. I go, all right, man, like, I have to bring that same heat with Mike Schilt. If they go and roll over and lose this series to the Reds, he is off the hook a little bit, I think. You know, you can't. Not going to change what those five games are a distant memory right now. They are because you've won two straight. But it there's certainly things about this team.
Since we talked to him, they're 2-4.
Yeah. Since we talked to him last, still 2-4. But you found a way to win that series. You had some big, big moments in that series and some really nice pitching from two guys that you absolutely needed it from.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up. But clearly, to me, the key of the last couple of days, the starting pitching performances. We'll see if they can continue that this weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But we'll have our Padres wrap-up, hear Jesse's highlights of especially the big Grand Slam moment. We'll do that in our next segment coming up. In our 7 o'clock hour, we've got Take on Wood. Well, no, it's a Throwback Thursday. We've got Real or Fake coming up, so a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Don't Do This, our regular features. And then, as I said, Adam Jones was having some flight troubles. He was tweeting about it yesterday. British Airways did him wrong. Supposed to take him to Baltimore and ended up taking him to, like, Washington and then JFK and finally ended up in Baltimore somehow. I don't know why, but he missed his normal Wednesday hit with us. But it actually worked out pretty well because yesterday everyone was talking about the Adam Jones moment at the Padres game when Manny Machado was robbed again in almost the same spot that Adam Jones robbed him during the 2017 World Baseball Classic. So we can take a trip down memory lane with AJ when he joins us at 7:35.
One pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Fairchild back into the right center gap at the wall, leaps up, and he made the catch. Incredible. Took a three-run homer away from Manny over by that Adam Jones wall in right center field.
Somebody made the very astute point yesterday on Twitter about how good Jesse Agler is at knowing when to inflect and when not to, because off the bat, that looks, let's be honest, I would like to compare his to Don Orsillo's. And I wonder, because Don will get me 3 to 4 times a game. And I'm like, oh, yes. And then you're like, I think I caught it at the wall. Jesse knows. Like, he knew. You can tell he got started to let himself get a little excited, but he looks down, he sees the route. He sees the trajectory, and he goes, he's got a chance, and he caught it. I mean, it was just and I never really thought about it until somebody pointed out on Twitter, Jesse's so good at that. Like, he doesn't get super hyped unless it goes out, and then he gets hyped.
I will say the one thing about yesterday's is, even though he was there, even though Fairchild got there, it's not the play that not everybody makes that play.
No.
Even big leaguers, even all-stars and gold glovers.
It was a great catch.
That's a tough one. That's one
catch.
That even if you touch it and get close, you're like, you must have done something right just to have a chance at that one. To actually make that play the way he did was pretty spectacular.
It's outstanding.
Love that Manny just let it roll off his back, and we will talk about that coming up. Adam Jones will be with us at 7:35. Eno Saris, it's a Smart Baseball Thursday. He'll join us at 8:35 for our super polished, yet-to-be-named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with the Athletics' Eno Saris. Rondo Report in our 9 o'clock hour, and then we roll right into the Roundtable Pizza Roundtable with everybody at 10 o'clock today to talk about a tough week that ended with too solid for the Cincinnati Reds, and I thought yesterday's even better than the one on Tuesday, which was, they got some bloops, they got some balls that fell in. Yesterday, they just played a solid game, top to bottom, came through when they needed to, and we'll go through it when we come back with our Padres wrap-up. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, we'll get to the game coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Bennett Woods here on a Thursday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We're already getting into the weeds on a baseball rules discussion from a different game this morning. I'm not sure where we'll work that in, but at some point we've got to have this conversation about the blocking the home plate rules that came into play for the Padres multiple times the last couple of seasons, and we're still confused about them at this point. But,
well, it's not only us.
No,
it
isn't.
It's Carlos Mendoza, it's umpires, it's New York replay booth. It's
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball, it's Rob Manfred. It goes up and down the chain. We just did get in the weeds a little bit. I showed you the play that happened yesterday in New York. Pete Alonso trying to score on a tag play and was called out, and it was
To end the game.
It was very clearly blocking the plate because the guy, you can't have your foot on the base. It's so obvious that he did. And it's such a weird.
But in the old days, it wouldn't have even been a thing. It would have been noticed.
Who cares?
Catcher's there, makes the tag, he's out.
He's out or safe.
It would have been clear. Now you're stretching on that rule. Like, well, by the letter of the law, his foot was on home plate, so he was blocking home plate. Even though there was home plate to be touched by Pete Alonso, he was going to be out anyway.
It's tough, man. If you're a catcher these days, you're like, it's a crapshoot. Because you can block and get away with it. You can not block and get called for it. I mean, it is truly like throwing darts at a board.
Runner on first, maybe even second, but like ball in the gap. You have to, as the catcher, you have to watch the play unfold.
Yes.
You have to direct your infield. You have to be ready to receive a laser beam coming at you.
Could be a short hop.
And you got to look down. All right, my feet. Am I good? Is this good?
Dude,
am
it's
I in
a
the
lot.
Right spot?
It's a lot.
Oh, and I'm about to get trucked. Yeah, that's a lot to worry about
it's a lot
in the moment.
It's a lot to worry about. So baseball's got some, they got some work to do on that, certainly. But it was interesting stuff yesterday.
All right, Kelly's going to check traffic when we come back. Jesse's highlights of yesterday's 6-2 series clinching victory over the Cincinnati Reds coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
2-2 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to left field. Pretty well struck. Profar back on the warning track. Merrill's coming as well. At the wall, gonna go. First row caught by a Reds fan in left center field. And a home run for Spencer Steer, his fourth of the season. A 1 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Fairchild back into the right center gap. At the wall, leaps up, and he made the catch. Incredible. Took a 3-run homer away from Manny over by that Adam Jones wall in right center field. Runners both get back, but Machado just had 3 more RBIs taken away by Stuart Fairchild. Here's the 1-0. Profar swings, lines it into left center field, a base hit. He's 3-for-3. Merrill has scored. Wade's on his way. Throw to the plate, not even close. And behind the play, Profar into second base. Not only have the Padres tied it, they've gone in front 2-1. 0-1 pitch off the handle, floated down the right field line. That's a fair ball. Going to drop down a base hit. Espinal rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And Candelario, who had the error last inning that led to the 2 Padre runs, collects an RBI single to tie this game 2-2. That's first pitch swinging in the air. Deep to right field. Towards the porch. Going to go. Grand slam, Jake Cronenworth. And the Padres not only break the tie, they get them all home. It's 6-2. Bases empty, 2 down. 2-2 from Suarez. Here's the pitch. It is muscled in the air to center field straight away. Merrill going back. He's got time. Gets to the spot to make the catch. And the ball game is over. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Robert Suarez. 6 strong from Joe Musgrove. And a game-deciding grand slam for Jake Cronenworth. As the Padres win their second straight, they take the series 6-2 over the Reds here this afternoon.
It's tremendous. It was, me and Ruben were talking about it right after he was done, like just how that just, I think we can all agree, haven't seen Joe pitch for a while, that I just looked like Joe, you know, controlling counts, a lot of sharpness to his pitches, below up a tick, a lot of life to what he was doing. All pitches effective, putting it where he wanted to, which is, you know, he can put on a clinic pitching-wise. And, you know, the line score doesn't always tell you what it looks like, but it was a pretty good indicator with 9 punch-outs and no walks in 6 innings. So good to see Joe go and do what he did on the heels of doing what Darvish did yesterday.
Yeah, lots of big things, lots of little things to talk about from the 6-2 win, but I think you have to start with Joe Musgrove's performance, his best of the season, and one the Padres really needed on the heels of Yu Darvish coming back and throwing 5 shutout innings on Tuesday. Joe clearly with his best stuff of the year, and even though he gave up that home run in the first inning, he threw well in the first inning, and you could see he actually built confidence. The home run could have taken it away from him. It was a hanging curveball, but every other pitch I thought that I saw early from Joe was very sharp, and I expected him at that point to come back and have a good outing, and he did with a season-high 9 strikeouts, did not walk anybody, which was also huge, only gave up 4 hits. The Reds really didn't have much base traffic or opportunities against Joe Musgrove. That's exactly what the Padres were looking for and will need going forward.
He settled in incredibly well, but you can't tell me, like, if you're watching that game and give up another first inning home run, there's a little part of you at least that goes, oh, God, here we go again.
Yeah, I got the notification on my phone. I went, God bless, man. Just one clean
just started.
First.
Here
man.
We go.
I listened to, it was when he came out of the game, and they went to, who was first out of the pen? Was it Yuki?
Yuki.
Yeah. And I was listening to Scan really break down, you know, what he thought went well for Joe yesterday. Scan does such a good job analyzing pitching, man. He's so good. And it basically, the gist of it was Joe got back to basics, right? Of, I'm going to throw my fastball. I'm going to throw my four-seamer. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. Velo got back up to, I think, 95. And that the 95, by the way, was on his last fastball of the day. So he went in, he established it, he said, I'm going to throw it. He went back to the slider. Like, he didn't mess around yesterday. He had a plan, he stuck to it, the first inning home run notwithstanding, Benny. Went out there and just shoved. 9 Ks, no walks, take that every single time. Every single time. So, 6 strong innings for him. Loved that. Needed it desperately. He needed it for his psyche, we needed it for our psyches. Team needed it for a win, kept him right in the ball game, and really brilliant performance.
Yeah, ultimately, one solo home run is fine.
Oh,
the home runs have been a problem. That that was the 10th he gave up. He's now tied with Michael King for most allowed in all of baseball. You never want to have both guys who lead the league in that category at the same time. But
two of your starting five just duking it out all
but
season.
I will, as a fan, and I'm sure probably if you asked Mike Schilt or Ruben Niebla, they'd rather see your guy give up a solo home run every once in a while than constantly be walking guys and have base traffic and be working in tough situations out of the stretch. A two-out solo home run once, even twice in a game, is not the biggest deal, is not going to kill you. And Joe didn't let it kill him yesterday, and that was a really great sign. The bullpen was good. Matsui did walk a couple, but
I was nervous in that little sequence.
And,
I was listening.
That, I believe, I think it was Tony and it was Jesse and Bob who also had the numbers on Matsui, who has not been as good coming back. Back-to-back days on the second day. He's so efficient, you feel like, I'll throw 7 pitches, and he got 4 outs. Let's bring him back the next day. But he hasn't been quite as sharp when they pitch him the second day of back-to-backs.
Day before, 5 outs on 18 pitches. So you, as a manager, you know, I'm sure you check in with him before the game. How you feeling? I feel fine. I got 5 outs on 18 pitches. I feel good. The ERA, like, doubles almost when he goes in the next day. So that's something to keep an eye out on if you're Mike Schilt, and I'm sure he will. But also, Yuki has been great and was able to, even with the walks, was able to, like...
No one put the ball in play against him.
Right.
I mean, like, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Exactly. Like, able to throw a terrible slider and then throw a really, really good slider, find it immediately, gets out. You're praying. He goes 3, and you're like, all right, you got to pull him. And in the car was like, he doesn't have it, you got to pull him, and he left him in for one more, and he got the out. So really well done on his part, good execution, made it very interesting there for a minute though, but it was great. And then we don't talk enough about Robert Suarez. I mean, I just don't think he gets enough credit or propers on this show. He has been outstanding this season, and basically unhittable, you know, and not a safe situation yesterday. Comes in, he doesn't care. They were talking about that on the broadcast. Jesse or somebody on TV was saying he doesn't care. He just needs to. He knows he needs to get 3 outs. He's not going to get bogged down with, well, it's not a save, so I'm not as amped up. He's just going to go out and throw his fastball by guys. He's been phenomenal. His ERA is almost nothing. Like, he's just been
0.66.
He's brilliant.
And 12 straight innings without allowing a run.
10 out of 10 in saves or something. He's been brilliant this year. So
he only needed 11 pitches.
Yeah.
Didn't strike anybody out, but you know, the worry is they were all fastballs again.
Mm-hmm.
And you worry that, well, if they know it's coming, they're going to get to it. But even when they make contact, and they make contact 3 times, the best they can do are those kind of fly balls to center. We've seen a couple of them the last couple of days. But, yeah, he's gotten the job done. So pitching was solid. Bullpen did not give up a single hit in 3 innings in relief of Joe Musgrove. But offensively, the story, while Jake Cronenworth hit the grand slam, and it was great, huge moment for Jake. Jurickson Profar is the story offensively right now.
Well, my God. 4 for 4. When he came up, I'm listening. And,
3 hits on Tuesday.
And,
4 more yesterday.
It was 8 for 12 in the series or something. That's a dream. So I'm listening in the car. Tyler Wade comes up, tries to bunt, which is fine. Tyler Wade should always bunt, in my opinion. He's fast as hell. He knows how to bunt. He's a good drag bunter. Trying to get on. bloops it over the pitcher's head, gets on. I mean, that's correct, because I was listening.
Correct.
Jerkson comes up on a 3-for-3 day. He tries to lay one down. So I'm screaming in the car, like, stop, buddy! You're 3-for-3! Rip! You're hitting, you know, lights out. But apparently that one, Jesse said it should have been a bunt double. Like, if it had kept going fair, it could have been a bunt double. That's how well he placed it. Goes foul at the last second. What is it? So immediately I'm in the car and I go, oh, he tried to bunt, dude. There's no way you're getting a knock. 0-2 pitch or something. Crack, base hit, 4-for-4. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Tatis, I thought, showed a great deal of patience there. A great deal of patience. You want to do something in that spot. Desperately. The way that he's been going, you desperately want to do something. He didn't. He said, I'll turn it over to the next guy. And Crony comes up and hits the biggest hit so far. Big grand slam. It was amazing. So that's a really solid inning put together late in the game by our Padres, man. It was great.
I love the tweet from A.J. Cassavelle, who we had on earlier this week, MLB.com. Trading Juan Soto, then telling Jurickson Profar to become Juan Soto was certainly an outside-the-box strategy, sure. But Profar, a $1 million signing at the start of spring training, 3-for-3 today, ended up being 4-for-4, so 8-for-12 in the series, and he's now hitting .342 on the season with an OPS well over 900.
Now, can he?
Did you know there's only two outfielders in baseball, in all of baseball, who have a better OPS than Jurickson Profar, and he leads the National League in OPS. One of the two is Juan Soto, but that's the kind of start that he's off to this season.
This is a good point that Bill says. Is it possible that we can bat Jurickson first and fifth? Because whoever's been the five hole this season has been kind of the darkest of dark. Grant Pauly, not a good day in the five hole yesterday. Xander moved to the five hole. He's not been good. He sat yesterday. Get his head right. I still don't know what you do there. I really don't. Kim wasn't great in the five hole.
We'll talk about it in the roundtable. It's one of my topics today.
Oh, good.
But it might be time for Donovan Solano to get a chance.
Where is he? Is he alive?
Mike Schilt said this week that on the off day, he was going to do a deep dive basically into, is Donovan Solano ready?
Mike Schilt's going to do it.
So he's checking in with the coaches at AAA,
hey,
and he's finding out,
get his ass up here.
Is he ready or is he not ready? But there's a possibility we could see Donovan Solano with the Padres as soon as tomorrow. When they open a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You immediately put him in the five, right? Like, almost immediately.
Seems like that's the next option.
I'm telling you, because
Manny will still DH sometimes.
Sure.
And then you're going to need Wade or Eggy or Graham Pauly to play third. One of those guys will probably have to go down when Donovan Solano is activated. I think it has to be
Pauly
at this point.
It's got to be.
I agree with that. He just hasn't been able to get locked in. I think he's got a lot of promise.
Sure.
He's got hopefully a bright future, but he's not quite ready yet to be producing on the major league level. By the way, it's not easy to be a rookie. Jackson Merrill is 0 for his last, 15 or 16? And while he doesn't look bad at the plate, he's not getting fooled every single time. Those balls that were falling in are now more weak grounders, or he's getting just under them and turning into pop-ups to the outfield and not having the success that he had early in the season. It is tough to be a rookie in Major League Baseball. No one
Bro,
is really
tough,
immune to that.
It's tough to be an all-star. They just sent Jose Abreu down to the minors. He had rookie ball. I mean, the guy's been an elite hitter at the big league level for several years. A guy, by the way, I think I lobbied for pretty seriously when we were in the market years ago.
Huge games.
Massive! The guy can't hit anymore. It's not only a rookie. It is veterans. It is guys that have played this game forever that get in a funk and they can't hit anymore. Like, he cannot hit a baseball. He's forgotten. So they're going to send him down. He's going to figure it out.
Last thing, played the highlight earlier. Manny getting robbed of the 3-run home run by Stuart Fairchild in the bottom of the first inning. But Manny looks like he's starting to get locked in. He's going the other way. He's doing what he does when he is starting to heat up.
He's got some confidence.
Would not be surprised to see one of those Manny tears just around the corner. Now, we heard Jesse's call of it, and you commented how Jesse's so good at knowing. Is it a no-doubter? Could it be caught? And Jesse was there on that one. He was like getting excited.
Pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep center field.
Fairchild
back.
There we go.
Into the right center gap. At the wall. Leaps up, and he made the catch.
Yep.
Incredible.
Didn't
Took
get
a three-run homer away from Manny.
Now, he didn't titillate me too much.
Let's compare this with Don Orsillo and how he saw the same play.
It's one high and deep to right center field. Fairchild going back at the wall, leaps and makes the catch. Brings it back into the yard.
Good job, though.
No, pretty good.
He had
pretty
the
good.
Anticipation.
Wasn't like super misleading.
Ferrari getting into the weeds on a baseball rules discussion from a different game this morning. I'm not sure where we'll work that in, but at some point we've got to have this conversation about the blocking the home plate rules that came into play for the Padres multiple times the last couple of seasons, and we're still confused about them at this point. But,
well, it's not only us.
No,
it
isn't.
It's Carlos Mendoza. It's umpires. It's New York replay booth. It's
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. It's Rob Manfred. It goes up and up and down the chain. We just did get in the weeds a little bit. I showed you the play that happened yesterday in New York. Pete Alonso trying to score on a tag play and was called out. And it was
to end the game.
It was very clearly blocking the plate because the guy you can't have your foot on the base. It's so obvious that he did, and it's such a weird.
But in the old days, it wouldn't have even been a thing. It would have been noticed.
No, like, who cares?
Catcher's there, makes the tag. He's out.
He's out or safe.
It would have been clear. Now you're going. Now you're stretching on that rule. Like, well, by the letter of the law, his foot was on home plate, so he was blocking home plate. Even though there was home plate to be touched by Pete Alonso, he was going to be out anyway.
It's tough, man. If you're a catcher these days, you're like, it's a crapshoot. Because you can block and get away with it. You can not block and get called for it. I mean, it is truly like throwing darts at a board.
Runner on first, maybe even second, but like ball in the gap. You have to, as the catcher, you have to watch the play unfold.
Yes.
You have to direct your infield. You have to be ready to receive a laser beam coming at you.
Could be a short hop.
And you got to look down. All right, my feet. Am I good? Is this good?
Dude, it's a lot.
Am I in the right spot?
It's a lot.
Oh, and I'm about to get trucked. That's a lot to worry about in the moment.
It's a lot to worry about. So baseball's got some. They got some work to do on that, certainly. But it was interesting stuff yesterday.
All right, Kelly's going to check traffic when we come back. Jesse's highlights of yesterday's 6-2 series clinching victory over the Cincinnati Reds coming up here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
The Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
2-2 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to left field. Pretty well struck. Profar back on the warning track. Merrill's coming as well. At the wall, gonna go. First row caught by a Reds fan in left center field. And a home run for Spencer Steer, his fourth of the season. A one pitch, swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Fairchild back into the right center gap, at the wall, leaps up, and he made the catch. Incredible. Took a three-run homer away from Manny, over by that Adam Jones wall in right center field. Runners both get back, but Machado just had three more RBIs taken away by Stuart Fairchild. Here's the 1-0. Profar swings, lines it into left center field, a base hit. He's 3-for-3. Merrill has scored. Wade's on his way. Throw to the plate, not even close. And behind the play, Profar into second base. Not only have the Padres tied it, they've gone in front 2-1. 0-1 pitch off the handle, floated down the right field line. That's a fair ball. Going to drop down a base hit. Espinal rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And Candelario, who had the error last inning that led to the two Padre runs, collects an RBI single to tie this game 2-2. First pitch swinging in the air, deep to right field, towards the porch. Going to go! Grand slam, Jake Cronenworth. And the Padres not only break the tie, they get them all home. It's 6-2. Bases empty, two down. 2-2 from Suarez. Here's the pitch. It is muscled in the air to center field straight away. Merrill going back. He's got time. Gets to the spot to make the catch. And the ball game is over. A 1-2-3 ninth inning for Robert Suarez. 6 strong from Joe Musgrove. And a game-deciding grand slam for Jake Cronenworth as the Padres win their second straight. They take the series 6-2 over the Reds here this afternoon.
It's tremendous. It was,
me and Ruben were talking about it right after he was done, like just how that just, I think we can all agree, having seen Joe pitch for a while, that I just looked like Joe, you know, controlling counts, a lot of sharpness to his pitches, below up a tick, a lot of life to what he was doing, all pitches effective, putting it where he wanted to, which is, you know, he can put on a clinic pitching-wise, and, you know, the line score doesn't always tell you what it looks like, but it was a pretty good indicator with 9 punchouts and no walks in 6 innings. So good to see Joe go and do what he did on the heels of doing what Darvish did yesterday.
Yeah, lots of big things, lots of little things to talk about from the 6-2 win, but I think you have to start with Joe Musgrove's performance, his best of the season, and one the Padres really needed on the heels of Yu Darvish coming back and throwing 5 shutout innings on Tuesday. Joe, clearly, with his best stuff of the year, and even though he gave up that home run in the first inning, he threw well in the first inning, and you could see he actually built confidence. The home run could have taken it away from him. It was a hanging curveball, but every other pitch I thought that I saw early from Joe was very sharp, and I expected him at that point to come back and have a good outing, and he did with a season-high 9 strikeouts, did not walk anybody, which was also huge, only gave up 4 hits. The Reds really didn't have much base traffic or opportunities against Joe Musgrove. That's exactly what the Padres were looking for and will need going forward.
He settled in incredibly well, but you can't tell me, like, if you're watching that game and give up another first inning home run, there's a little part of you at least that goes, oh God, here we go again.
Yeah, I got the notification on my phone. I went, God bless, man, just one clean
just started.
First.
Here we go.
I listened to, it was when he came out of the game, and they went to, who was first out of the pen? Was it Yuki?
Yuki.
Yeah. And I was listening to Scan really break down, you know, what he thought went well for Joe yesterday. Scan does such a good job analyzing pitching, man. He's so good. And the gist of it was Joe got back to basics, right? Of, I'm going to throw my fastball. I'm going to throw my 4-seamer. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. Velo got back up to, I think, 95. And the 95, by the way, was on his last fastball of the day. So he went in, he established it, he said, I'm going to throw it. He went back to the slider. Like, he didn't mess around yesterday. He had a plan, he stuck to it, the first inning home run notwithstanding, Benny. Went out there and just shoved. 9 Ks, no walks. You take that every single time. Every single time. So 6 strong innings for him. Love that. Needed it. Needed it desperately. He needed it for his psyche. We needed it for our psyches. Team needed it for a win. Kept him right in the ball game, and really brilliant performance.
Yeah, ultimately, one solo home run is fine.
Oh,
the home runs have been a problem. That, yep. That was the 10th he gave up. He's now tied with Michael King for most allowed in all of baseball. You never want to have both guys who lead the league in that category at the same time. But
2 of your starting 5 just duking it out all
but
season.
I will, as a fan, and I'm sure probably if you asked Mike Schilt or Ruben Niebla, they'd rather see your guy give up a solo home run every once in a while than constantly be walking guys and have base traffic and be working in tough situations out of the stretch. A 2-out solo home run once, even twice in a game, is not the biggest deal, is not going to kill you. And Joe didn't let it kill him yesterday, and that was a really great sign. The bullpen was good. Matsui did walk a couple, but
I was nervous in that little sequence.
And,
I was listening.
And that, I believe, I think it was Tony and it was Jesse and Bob who also had the numbers on Matsui, who has not been as good coming back-to-back days on the second day. He's so efficient, you feel like, I'll throw 7 pitches, and he got 4 outs. Let's bring him back the next day. But he hasn't been quite as sharp when they pitch him the second day of back-to-backs.
Day before, 5 outs on 18 pitches. So you, as a manager, you know, I'm sure you check in with him before the game. How you feeling? I feel fine. I got 5 outs on 18 pitches. I feel good. The ZRA, like, doubles almost when he goes in the next day. So that's something to keep an eye out on if you're Mike Schilt, and I'm sure he will. But also, Yuki has been great and was able to, even with the walks, was able to, like,
no one put the ball in play against
him.
I mean, like, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Exactly. Like, able to throw a terrible slider and then throw a really, really good slider, find it immediately, gets out. You're praying. He goes 3. And you're like, all right, you got to pull him. And I, in the car, was like, he doesn't have it. You got to pull him. And he left him in for one more, and he got the out. So really well done on his part. Good execution. Made it very interesting there for a minute, though. But it was great. And then we don't talk enough about Robert Suarez. I mean, I just don't think he gets enough credit or propers on this show. He has been outstanding. Outstanding this season. And basically unhittable, you know, and not a safe situation yesterday. Comes in, he doesn't care. They were talking about that on the broadcast. Jesse or somebody on TV was saying he doesn't care. He just needs to, he knows he needs to get three outs. He's not going to get bogged down with, well, it's not a save, so I'm not as amped up. He's just going to go out and throw his fastball by guys. He's been phenomenal. His ERA is almost nothing. Like, he's just been
0.66.
He's brilliant.
And 12 straight innings without allowing a run.
10 out of 10 in saves or something. He's been brilliant this year. So
he only needed 11 pitches. Yeah. Didn't strike anybody out, yeah. But you know, the worry is they were all fastballs again.
Mm-hmm.
And you worry that, well, if they know it's coming, they're going to get to it. But even when they make contact, and they make contact three times, the best they can do are those kind of fly balls to center. We've seen a couple of them the last couple of days. But, yeah, he's gotten the job done. So pitching was solid. Bullpen did not give up a single hit in three innings in relief of Joe Musgrove. But offensively, the story, while Jake Cronenworth hit the grand slam, and it was great, huge moment for Jake. Jurickson Profar is the story offensively right now.
Well, my God. 4-for-4. When he came up, I'm listening. And,
three hits on Tuesday. And, four
yeah,
more yesterday.
It was 8-for-12 in the series or something. That's a dream. So I'm listening in the car. Tyler Wade comes up, tries to bunt, which is fine. Tyler Wade should always bunt, in my opinion. He's fast as hell. He knows how to bunt. He's a good drag bunter. Trying to get on. Bloops it over the pitcher's head, gets on. I mean, that's correct because I was listening.
Correct.
Jurickson comes up on a 3-for-3 day. He tries to lay one down. So I'm screaming in the car, like, stop, buddy! You're 3-for-3! Rip! You're hitting, you know, lights out. But apparently that one, Jesse said it should have been a bunt double. Like, if it had kept going fair, it could have been a bunt double. That's how well he placed it. Goes foul at the last second. What is it? So immediately I'm in the car and I go, oh, yeah, he tried to bunt, dude. There's no way you're getting a knock. 0-2 pitch or something. Crack, base hit, 4-for-4. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Tatis, I thought, showed a great deal of patience there. A great deal of patience. You want to do something in that spot. Desperately. The way that he's been going, you desperately want to do something. He didn't. He said, I'll turn it over to the next guy. And Crony comes up and hits the, you know, biggest hit so far. Big grand slam. It was amazing. So that's a really solid inning put together late in the game by our Padres, man. It was great.
I love the tweet from A.J. Cassavell, who we had on earlier this week, MLB.com. Trading Juan Soto, then telling Jurickson Profar to become Juan Soto was certainly an outside-the-box strategy,
sure.
But Profar, a $1 million signing at the start of spring training, 3-for-3 today, ended up being 4-for-4, so 8-for-12 in the series, and he's now hitting .342 on the season with an OPS well over 900.
Now, can he?
Did you know there's only two outfielders in baseball, in all of baseball, who have a better OPS than Jurickson Profar, and he leads the National League in OPS. One of the two is Juan Soto, but that's the kind of start that he's off to this season.
This is a good point that Bill says. Is it possible that we can bat Jurickson first and fifth? Because whoever's been the five hole this season has been kind of the darkest of dark. Grant Pauly, not a good day in the five hole yesterday. Xander moved to the five hole. He's not been good. He sat yesterday. You know, get his head right. I still don't know what you do there. I really don't. Kim wasn't great in the five hole.
We'll talk about it in the roundtable. It's one of my topics today.
Oh, good.
But it might be time for Donovan Solano to get a chance.
Where is he? Is he alive?
Mike Schilt said this week that on the off day, he was going to do a deep dive basically into, is Donovan Solano ready?
Mike Schilt's going to do it.
So he's checking in with the coaches at AAA,
hey,
and he's finding out,
get his ass up here.
Is he ready or is he not ready? But there's a possibility we could see Donovan Solano with the Padres as soon as tomorrow. When they open a three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You immediately put him in the five, right? Like, almost immediately.
Seems like that's the next option.
I'm telling you, because
you know, Manny will still DH sometimes.
Sure.
And then you're going to need Wade or Eggy or Graham Pauly to play third. One of those guys will probably have to go down when Donovan Solano is activated. I think it has to be
Pauly
at this point.
It's got to be.
I agree with that. He just hasn't been able to get locked in. I think he's got a lot of promise.
Sure.
He's got hopefully a bright future, but he's not quite ready yet. to be producing on the major league level. By the way, it's not easy to be a rookie. Jackson Merrill is 0 for his last, 15 or 16? And while he doesn't look bad at the plate, he's not getting fooled every single time. Those balls that were falling in are now more weak grounders, or he's getting just under them and turning into pop-ups to the outfield and not having the success that he had early in the season. It is tough to be a rookie in Major League Baseball. No one is really immune to that.
It's tough to be an all-star. And they just sent Jose Abreu down to the minors. He had rookie ball. I mean, the guy's been an elite hitter at the big league level for several years. A guy, by the way, I think I lobbied for pretty seriously when we were in the market years ago.
Big moments in huge games.
Massive! The guy can't hit anymore. It's not only a rookie. It is veterans. It is guys that have played this game forever that get in a funk and they can't hit anymore. Like, he cannot hit a baseball. He's forgotten. So they're going to send him down. He's going to figure it out.
Last thing, played the highlight earlier. Manny getting robbed of the 3-run home run by Stuart Fairchild in the bottom of the first inning. But Manny looks like he's starting to get locked in. He's going the other way. He's doing what he does when he is starting to heat up.
Some confidence.
Would not be surprised to see one of those Manny tears just around the corner. Now, we heard Jesse's call of it, and you commented how Jesse is so good at knowing. Is it a no-doubter? Could it be caught? And Jesse was there on that one. He was like getting
one
excited.
Pitch swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Fairchild back.
Here we go.
Into the right center gap. At the wall. Leaps up, and he made the catch.
Yep.
Incredible.
Didn't
Took
get
a three-run
too...
homer away from Manny.
Now, he didn't titillate me too much.
Let's compare this with Don Orsillo and how he saw the same play.
It's one high and deep to right center field. Fairchild going back at the wall. Leaps. And makes the catch. Brings it back into the yard.
Good job, though. No,
pretty good.
He had
pretty
the
good.
Anticipation.
It wasn't like super misleading.
It was. He was at the wall. There was a moment of uncertainty.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
Center field. Fairchild going back at the wall. Leaps. And makes the catch.
You gotta wait for it to come back.
But you agree. He'll get you three times a game. Like, he gets me where I'm like, if I'm on my phone or something,
I hope that
I hear
a home run and not a deep fly out.
Single off the wall.
That was actually a routine ground ball from second base.
Bro, I'll be like looking at my phone or something, and I'll hear Don like, yes, no, son of a, got me again. I love that man.
I think part of it is simply Don's voice is so powerful.
So powerful, yes. Man.
That when he uses any inflection, it immediately grabs your attention, which is fantastic for a broadcaster. But when there is a deep fly ball and he starts to get excited, you just assume, it must be a home run. It's not going to be a home run every single time. He's supposed to get your attention on a deep fly ball.
There was a video going around a couple years ago, like, I think Dodger fans were trying to troll Padres fans. Yeah. It's like, Padres broadcasters, every time Tatis does anything, and he's catching literally a routine fly ball at short, and they just get, caught by Fernando! It makes me laugh.
They took the audio from one of his great catches and put it to a routine.
I'm like, if that's making us like feel bad, you're not doing a very good job. That makes me laugh.
That's elite trolling, and it's really funny.
Yes.
I love that video. It's so funny.
Caught by Fernando!
Brilliant.
We're going to come back, play a little real or fake. Also, you missed a great story from Brett Boone, and if any of the Tier 1s missed it,
I
want you to hear this about Pedro Martinez when we come back next year on 97.3 The Fan.